Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon. You need a playbook that is safe. Allocate some gold right now. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments IRA. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. When fear reigns, gold protects the wise. Noble Gold Investments offers a free 5-ounce America Beautiful coin with new IRAs this month. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Citizen Kane joins us as we talk about the right for anonymous speech. Alim Bakari joins us as well as we continue that topic. And the war on white people continues. A tragic story out of Las Vegas. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. That's your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you're subscribed. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Alim Bakari, senior tech reporter at Breitbart.com. Alim, thank you so much for joining the program. There is this question about anonymous online speech. Nikki Haley says that we should find the identity of all online, basically government-sponsored doxing. What are your thoughts?
Yep. Well, there could be no greater gift to cancel culture than ending online anonymity. It's extraordinary that this proposal came from a Republican candidate, of all things. But think about what Nikki Haley is saying. You know, the founders of America used anonymity when they were writing the Federalist Papers. Alexander Hamilton, John Jay, Voltaire used anonymity when he was critiquing the regime in France in the 1700s. You know, anonymity has been used by dissidents throughout history. So for, you know, Nikki Haley to come out and say she supports ending it online, she's essentially saying she wants no dissidents to the present system to be able to have free speech. She wants them to be open to doxing, open to having their lives ruined by journalists whenever they challenge official narratives. That's the ultimate result. That would be the ultimate result of ending on anonymity.
What do you think is the motivating impulse here? Why would somebody say something like that? Is it because she's really bothered by trolls that are in her comments and she wants to make them pay? I mean, why would somebody say something like this?
Well, that's what she says. If you look at the interview, she said, well, this is all about civility. We need more civility. And if you end online anonymity, if you make people use their real names online, which is ironic because Nikki Haley doesn't use her real name, then there'll be more civility. But, you know, you think a little deeper about what that means. She says people will be more civil. Or what she means is people will be more civil because when they have their real names, they're afraid of the consequences to their reputation. But who's imposing consequences on speech in the modern era? It's mainstream media organizations. It's NGOs. It's activist organizations who try and get your bank account canceled if you express the wrong political opinion. Those are the institutions and the people who are imposing consequences on speech today. And by ending online, Nikki Haley is a very smart candidate. She's a very smart politician. I'm sure she knows this. I'm sure she knows what will happen if you end online anonymity. So when she says this is all about civility, I just don't believe her. I think she's an establishment candidate, and I think she wants the establishment to have more power. And she knows online anonymity is this huge forum that allows dissidents to critique the present establishment, the present status quo. It's just another reminder that Nikki Haley, perhaps more than any other Republican candidate, is a candidate of the status quo.
So some, not all, of our listeners have emailed us, and they said, look, I don't like Nikki Haley, but I don't understand why this is such a bad idea. So let's not attack the question. We could attack Nikki Haley. Let's explain for people that might not be as well-versed in internet culture how important and vibrant the dissident Anon culture has been over the last 6 or 7 years, especially with the rise of Donald Trump. We know that there are consequences, canceling, smear, and slandering that awaits. But talk about the community of creators, memes, images, videos, articles. This Bronze Age guy who is obviously very, very popular, who wants to remain anonymous. Citizen Free Press, Citizen Kane. Educate our audience on this that might not quite see it the way we do yet.
Yeah, I can see how some people might see what Nikki Haley says as attractive because, you know, there are anonymous trolls on the internet who, you know, do nothing but abuse people, you know, and harass people. But there's also, as you said, this huge, vibrant culture of political speech that couldn't exist without online anonymity, political speech on the right, especially. You have to remember that not everyone can be a professional political activist, especially if you're on the right wing. The left can afford to pay, you know, thousands and thousands of professional activists. But if you're a conservative, most likely you have a regular job. And if you're too out there on your political opinions online, eventually that will get back to your job if people know your name. So by ending online anonymity, you're effectively eliminating the ability of regular, ordinary people with regular, ordinary jobs to be able to express their political viewpoints, which are suppressed now more than ever. It's also a great arena for creativity when you're not worried about consequences. We're not worried about your reputation being attacked, your career being attacked. You can be totally creative. You can think only about what's the most pressing issues of the day rather than what's the most controversial issues of the day, what's going to get me canceled. And, you know, we've seen influential political philosophers, influential political writings that have emerged, you know, out of this anonymous cell. You mentioned Bronze Age Pervert. There's also Mencius Moldbug, Curtis Yarbon. He's become extraordinarily influential, and he started off as an anon. So, you know, to characterize online anonymity as a place purely of trolling and frivolity and abuse, that's always been a massive mischaracterization, just as it ever was. Anonymity is a forum for, you know, dissident political ideas that would be extremely difficult for people to express under their real names, exactly as it was in the founding of America when the founders used anonymous pen names to discuss their ideas for the Constitution.
Yes, exactly. And also a book of the Bible, Hebrews, who we don't know the author of. We speculate it's Paul, but it's largely anonymous. And so if Nikki Haley got her way, this would effectively then give social media companies and the intel agencies and anyone who chooses a tickler list of any dissidents that might be accusing them. Talk about, in the Chinese Communist Party, is anonymous speech protected in China?
Oh, absolutely not. In many ways, this is a step towards a social credit system in America. When you know everyone's real name, then you know how to ruin them, how to track them down, who they are, where they are, what their job is. If you can track everyone down, then you can impose consequences on them for anything. And, you know, this is the ultimate end game of authoritarians everywhere, to know everything about you, to know who's saying what, to know where they are, to know who they are, to know what their jobs are.
It's not about national security. It is about the ever push to be able to control a citizenry and control a population. Elon Musk has come out against this. Interestingly, though, Elon used to think differently. About a year and a half ago, Elon said, well, we might have to have you verified on the back end. You could still have an anonymous account, but you have to at least present information on the back end. He's changed, by the way, on this. He thinks it's an awful and a terrible idea. And so it's no different than gun control in the information age. And the pen is mightier than the sword. Do you anticipate this idea going anywhere?
I don't, mainly because I think it's a violation of the First Amendment to say that you have to speak under your real name. I don't think the government can impose limits on speech like that. And it's a good thing that it can't in the U.S. It may well go somewhere in non-American countries. I know there was a proposal to do this in the online harms bill in the U.K. So you're going to see other governments doing it. You mentioned China as well. I'm sure they're going to make it harder and harder to speak anonymously online, although it is still possible there to do it through VPNs and other privacy-protecting software. But, you know, the thing to understand about this debate is, if you're in favor of ending online anonymity, you're in favor of imposing more consequences on speech. Anonymous online speech is one of the few areas in the modern world where you aren't confronted with this massive fear of losing your job, losing your reputation, losing your career if you say the wrong thing, if you make the wrong joke, or if you express the wrong political opinion. And to support getting rid of that is just a massive gift for cancel culture.
Alam, excellent commentary. Thank you. And plug your book, 20 seconds, if plug your book or anything, please.
Of course. Also, if you want to learn more about tech censorship and all of these issues, I wrote a book in 2020 called Deleted: Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election. That came out before the election. And, you know, we're still learning to this day about how tech companies interfered with that. So if you want to learn more, check that book out. It's available on Amazon and most major booksellers.
Alam, thank you so much. Great work. Thank you. America's colleges and universities today are less concerned with critical thinking than with indoctrination. It is no wonder why so many young Americans embrace cancel culture, deny free speech to conservatives, and even celebrate terrorism. But I'm happy to report there is one college where students debate ideas openly and honestly, where they pursue truth together with their professors, and where America's great heritage of liberty is studied and revered. My favorite college, Hillsdale College. As stated in Hillsdale's founding document in 1844, Hillsdale's original mission was to offer the kind of serious liberal arts education needed to preserve the blessings of civil and religious liberty across the land, and this mission continues to guide Hillsdale College today. You can learn more at my favorite college's website, charlieforhillsdale.com. There you will find a short video. It's just over a minute long, showing how Hillsdale's work, not only on its Michigan campus, not only in Washington, D.C. campus, but across the nation, is effective in defending American liberty. Take some time to watch today at charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. It's amazing how much attention the George Floyd story got. Amazing. We burned down our whole country. We took down statues. Hundreds of millions of dollars was spent on BLM, racial reckoning causes. I'm very, 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 very proud of this show. We did not fall for that crap for a second. How many Americans do you think know about what just recently happened in Las Vegas? By the way, we didn't even cover on the show the other Las Vegas story a couple weeks ago, where the two teens were going on a joyride in a car and ran over a retired police officer, and they laugh about it in court. Here's another story in Nevada that warrants our attention. NewYorkPost.com, 8 teens arrested in fatal beating of Las Vegas 17-year-old Jonathan Lewis. So at a high school in Las Vegas, Nevada, there was a young white man by the name of Jonathan Lewis Jr. He decided to stand up to a mob who was bullying a smaller boy. The mob then goes around him and beats him relentlessly. Not an adult doesn't intervene, because you can't discipline kids, especially black kids, right? They're allowed to do whatever they want. I think eventually some adults came in, but he died. Jonathan Lewis Jr. died. Now, 8 suspects have been taken into custody and booked into juvenile hall. Many will probably be out and not serve time. Honestly, they should rot in prison for the rest of their life. I don't care that they are teenagers. I don't care that they're young. They should rot in prison for the rest of their life. Jonathan's father claims on GoFundMe that, quote, one of Jonathan's smaller friends had something stolen by this group of 15, and they threw the small boy in the trash can, and our son confronted them, and he was attacked by them. The killers whooped in triumph and joy while jumping and stomping on Lewis's helpless, limp body. How are they any better than Hamas? Answer, they're not. They're not. This is graphic. Just 71 is going to play as I do this. How many media outlets are covering this? Very few. Every single one of these people should die in prison. Yeah, just play 71. The fight was allegedly over a pair of stolen headphones and possibly a vape pen, which were taken from the friends of the victim. According to police, all parties agreed to meet in the alley to fight, but as soon as the first punch was thrown, Jonathan was swarmed and murdered. They agreed to a fight. Jonathan decided to fight honorably, but the black mob jumped him and murdered him. They stomp him and kick him while he's limp on the ground. We have covered extensively the war on white people in this country. There is a war on white people in this country. Far too often, we make excuses for blacks that commit crimes. Black men do most of the murdering in this country, and yet they're 7% of the population. We have entire walks around white privilege and seminars around white fragility. We tell the public that white men are the source of all evil. It's okay to hate white people. And here you have 8 black teenagers that murdered a courageous and good young man. Honestly, that is a terrible way to die. But if you're going to die, die doing something courageous. And may the blessing of this young white man who was killed by a horde of blacks be a blessing. In Louisiana the other day, there was a random stabbing of 4 white women by a black man. Was it really that random? Or has he been trained for years to hate white women? We whip mentally unstable people to commit violence. And here's, just play 73 as I do this, please. Is this in Louisiana? Yep, there it is. Is that acceptable behavior? I don't know which one this is. This is Oakland. Oh, okay, but there's so many anti-white hate crimes, we can't even keep track of it. Look at that. Yeah, they're coming for you. Yeah, but racism is the problem, right? Your universities are fomenting this type of behavior. It's not just Jew hatred that gets intellectual support on university campuses and high schools. It's white hatred, too, as the war on white people continues. Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Joining us now is Citizen Kane from CitizenFreePress.com. Citizen Kane, let's just kind of start with, do you think you have a right to remain anonymous online, Citizen Kane?
It is one of the oldest traditions in American political history, going back to the Federalist Papers 250 years ago. The right to remain anonymous and complain about your government is one of the most basic rights we have. It's astonishing. The headline I put up, you're referring to the Nikki Haley story, obviously. And the headline I put up is that it should end her political career, but it won't. Anonymity is extremely important to a huge percentage of people who use Twitter, for example. And those are the people that are upset about this. But outside of that, the mainstream, you know, who is Nikki Haley appealing to anyway, right? About 10% of the party that doesn't want Trump, maybe 20% at the most. She's appealing to that group. They tend to be older. They're not on social media. They don't know the importance of it. You know, if anybody wants to know, actually, I think about it really quick. If you want to know the importance of anonymity, look at Steve Bannon and getting swatted 3 or 4 times in a month earlier this summer. It's one of the huge reasons that Citizen Free Press was, you know, I never get the chance to sort of talk about what Citizen Free Press, what the name means, but it's a lot about citizens doing the work. But the whole idea was anonymous from the beginning, because I knew that with the type of headlines that I had planned to write. You know, as you know, Charlie, I didn't expect anyone to ever read this website. I thought it was just going to be a cathartic thing where I could write headlines about how I really felt. And so I knew that those would piss off groups from Media Matters to, you know, your standard leftist. So, you know, to answer your question, anonymity is enshrined in this country going back 200 years. It's incredibly important. It shows how brain dead Nikki Haley is. And it shows that she doesn't even understand what it's been like for conservatives for the last 6 years on social media.
But we're being told that the Nikki Haley is gaining traction amongst the billionaire elite. Tell us about it, Kane.
Yeah, I've got a couple of headlines up there. I put them up in sort of honor of you. You know, you were the first one to get me thinking and hopefully getting thousands of others thinking about why the billionaire donor class who hates Trump hasn't set aside $100 million to sort of for grassroots efforts. So I'll get into it. Yesterday, we heard that Ken Griffin is approaching his decision on whether to drop his support for Governor DeSantis and switch it to Nikki Haley. And in addition to that, Jamie Dimon, the CEO of Chase Bank, came out and said he's been holding some secret economic meetings with Nikki Haley and believes she's the only one who can save the economy. And it's, you know, my headlines for these are, you know, why are they chasing a loser? Why are they chasing second place? It's not a normal election. It's not where second place is close. This isn't Obama Hillary in 2008. This is Trump, who's probably going to end up with 60 to 70%, if not more.
So this is important. I'm getting a lot of people ask me, some donors, they say, hey, you know, isn't Nikki Haley the most obvious choice, right? She can win over women. She can win over a lot of people. Nikki Haley is so unpopular with the MAGA base. It's hard to even put it words. Please continue.
Okay, yeah. So where I was going was just second place doesn't mean anything in this primary. Trump is such a dominant force that second place doesn't mean anything. In fact, outside of Vivek, I was going to say, who I do consider MAGA, outside of Vivek and DeSantis, who, you know, we all know his issues, outside of them, the rest of these candidates tend to be more anti-Trump. And so being in second place means nothing. So the fact that Ken Griffin is going to throw tens of millions more at Nikki Haley, it's like burning, you know, sending your money, putting it in a huge fire and setting it and just burning it into oblivion. It's not going to help us win in 2024. What will help us win is grassroots efforts like the Democrats announced last night, $25 million to help them take state legislatures. And I've got a headline on that in the stack. So it's the, you know, you're the one who brought this to the forefront. It's this idea of wasting money on candidates who have no chance of winning instead of ensuring that the Republican Party wins in 2024. And it's infuriating.
So, Kane, you know, you track the grassroots, the chatter, the intensity and the energy. It seems as if there's a growing movement, growing consensus, growing agreement that Ronna McRomney has to go. Talk about what CFP Nation is thinking here and saying.
I don't even want to say what they call her. You know, she's always the topic of discussion there. It, you know, as your listeners know, CFP is a heavy MAGA base. So Ronna McDaniel or Ronna Romney is not popular. People absolutely loved what happened with Vivek in the debate, how he called her out, how he called Kristen Welker out. The open thread was on fire the next morning. And I've been posting all this, you know, her big interviews on State of the Union and Meet the Press on Sunday. So she's continued to sort of stay in the conversation. And there's no positive thought, none whatsoever. People, you know, the CFP crowd wanted Harmeet Dillon, 100% Harmeet Dillon for RNC chair. And look, you know, this woman's legacy is losing. That, you know, that is what she's known for. And she goes on these shows and she's all smiles, says none of it is her fault. Blames Glenn Youngkin, blames Virginia. You know, people are sick and tired of it. And I'm one of them.
Yeah. And it's just we need change. I'll be honest. I have not been able to find a person that supports her that is not part of the 168. Kane, this is going to significantly impact our ability to win coming into 2024. If the RNC is not making the investments, which they're not, if the RNC is not trusted by the grassroots, and at the very least, Kane, it would be one thing if she was just raking in money. It'd be one thing if she was raising a ton of money. Okay, I would temper my criticism. She's not even doing that, Kane. She's not even doing the one thing that the establishment is typically good at. In fact, Mediaite.com, Trump increasingly sour with Ronna Mitt Romney. I think it's time for Trump to call for her resignation. Do you agree, Kane?
I do, and that would be a huge move, and it's been talked about in the open thread for the past 24 hours because people remember what happened in the battle, and Trump was sort of hamstrung, and he endorsed Harmeet and he endorsed Ronna. You know, you talked about the fact that she's not even that great at her job. A huge reason that she's probably not raising big money is because 70% of the voter base supports Trump, who she obviously doesn't and hasn't supported. And there's a huge amount of donors that go along with that base. So people, I mean, I've got threads, mini threads that start every day where people will say, send your money directly to candidates only or directly to President Trump only, completely bypass the RNC. And I think that mindset has taken over almost all of the MAGA base. They all know that the RNC just burns the money on $100 million conventions in Milwaukee and doesn't do the work to win. And that's what you and Raheem and Bannon and others have been pointing out now for going back to before 2020 is the way you win this is on the ground. You don't win this with big parties and television ads. That's not how 2024 is going to be won. It's going to be won on the ground, and we need efforts like what Scott Pressler is doing with your help at TP Action and what he's attempting to do in Wisconsin. We need that in seven states. We know it's that simple. Come on, Ken Griffin. Come on, Bernie Marcus. Let's put together $20 million package for each of the seven states. That's $140 million. And then if you want to go blow more money on TV ads, then do it. But we need that $140 million to get out the vote for ballot harvesting in the states where it's legal. And we need to ride this to victory. This is a winnable battle in 2024. And I'm tired of this nonsense that we get from the RNC.
NBC News debate, the critical investments are not happening. Let me just kind of highlight one article here from the New York Times. I think I saw this in the stack on your I go like nine times a day, by the way, to citizenfreepress.com. They have so much money, but again, is the RNC adapting? Are they doing this? Are Republican super PACs doing this with their tons of money? Super PAC for liberals going all in on digital. Priorities USA, one of the biggest liberal super PACs, will not run a single television advertisement in 2024 cycle, Kane. Instead, the group announced Priorities USA. By the way, Priorities USA, blue chip, right, Kane? There where all their big donors park their money. Priorities USA is the big one. Is reshaping itself as a solely digital political strategy operation, the culmination of years-long transition from its supporting role in presidential campaigns to a full-service communications, research, and training behemoth for Democrats up and down the ballot. $75 million is the amount Priorities USA will spend only on digital efforts. No more television. You have to wonder, will Republicans follow suit? Herzog Foundation. For years, I've been talking about our nation's public schools and how they've been captured by progressive ideologues, teaching things that directly contradict the values of American families. That's especially true if you are a Christian family. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source on American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents thinking about making the switch from public schools to a Christian education. They have an online publication called The Lion to their new podcast, Making the Leap. The Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents to make the best education decisions for their kids. To learn more about how your family, faith, and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. That's HerzogFoundation.com. America Fest is the event of the year. Phoenix, Arizona, December 16, 17, 18, 19. Amfest.com, AMFEST.com. Candace Owens, Steve Bannon, Tucker Carlson, Rob Schneider, and amazing speakers soon to be announced. We got some big ones to announce. Big ones. You want to say something, Kane?
You know, regarding America Fest, I told you this a year ago. One of these days, I'm leaving the Bloomington, Indiana bunker. And you never know. It may be for America Fest. So I may be sort of incognito, part anonymous, roaming the halls of, I assume, Phoenix.
We by the way, we have some serious anons that come to AmFest. We have billionaires that come dressed in full camouflage. We have some of the richest people. That, no, I'm not kidding. We have some anons that we have bloggers. We have authors. Andrew would tell you we have a whole like process of getting anons in because, look, these savages, these vermin that call themselves reporters, they want to destroy these people's lives. So, Kane, I totally respect. And by the way, Kane, you know, just talk about not any details about your life, but you've made a decision to remain anonymous. And for you, that allows you to be outspoken. And that is a thing of comfort and choosing. Can you just talk about that? I think it's really important. You run one of the most popular websites on the internet while being anonymous. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, it has. It does. You know, you hit a couple of good points. It does give you a sense of freedom. It allows you to feel safe. You know, the reasons, though, people would probably laugh at, for example, why don't I want to get swatted? OK, it's not that because I care about the police showing up at my door. It's because I can't handle an hour break in the stack or an hour and a half. This is a site that I literally run from my office, my home office, that I've done every single day for 6.5 years. Quickly, for readers who have never heard of it, it's essentially just a headline RSS feed that I personally aggregate and I write all the headlines for. And it updates from about 8 in the morning until about midnight or 1 a.m. every night. So this is essentially my life, and anything that gets in the way of my productivity, like a SWAT team at my door wondering about some fake phone call that was dialed in, anything that sort of takes away my focus screws up the site. You know, I barely sort of, I eat, I sleep, and I run the site. And I sleep about 5.5 hours at night. And so I like to get a nap in the later afternoon. So people can essentially time my life by the breaks that they see in the, in the stack and in terms of headlines updating. But back to your sort of original point about the freedom. Yeah, it's nice. You know, I never wanted to be on Media Matters radar. I've never wanted my first name out there. I don't want any credit for this. I feel like the credit are all the people who listen to your show and all the people who read my site. It's the base. They're the ones who deserve the credit. I'm just a voice that's, you know, helping put things out there. But certainly, you know, I have it's unbelievable. It shows, in my opinion, it shows unbelievable naivete and out of touchness that Nikki Haley doesn't understand how important the anonymous space is.
Not only the Federalist Papers, but the one that we haven't mentioned or I haven't seen is Silence Do Good, Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
He, to get published in the New England Courant, he wrote under an anon name. Benjamin Franklin, one of the great American founding fathers, one of the most impressive people ever to live, he wrote as an anon. And Nikki
because
Haley.
The British would have.
Yeah, by the way, Nikki Haley, like King George, being like, who is this? I want your driver's license. Close the thought, Kane.
Well, you know, Benjamin Franklin had to be anonymous because the British would have hanged him. And Nikki Haley doesn't understand now that though we may not have actual lynchings, and, you know, unless you're a Jewish student on, let's say, Columbia University's campus. That though we don't have actual lynchings, we have virtual lynchings. Mm. People lose their jobs, they lose their friends, their
cyber
family.
Lynchings.
They're embarrassed. Yeah, it's stunning that she doesn't understand that.
No, it's unacceptable and it's repulsive. Kane, excellent job. God bless you, man. Talk to you soon. Citizenfreepress.com. I visit it over 10 times a day. Thank you. Thanks, Kane. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.